Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon. I'm broadcasting live, unscripted and unrehearsed on the voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, frequency modulated band, and broadcasting live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital, on voiceofvashon.org. If you cannot hear me on 101.9 because the signal is both line of sight and a particularly weak signal, I think we're trickling out something like 5 watts. I don't know how much it is. But if you can't hear me on that, you can indeed go on to voiceofvashon.org and listen to me live. There are many people out there who structure their week so that they are free to listen to the pontification of your Captain Joe from the captain's chair. And I'm sitting across from the Vashon Presbyterian Church. I am in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio. And right across from me of Vashon Highway Southwest is the Vashon Presbyterian Church. And the sign today says something that is a little bit of a mystification. It says, "Be the person that your dog thinks you are." I don't have a dog that lives in my house, but my dog that lives next door, Mac, believes that I belong to him, is a frequent visitor to my house. And so I guess I have a dog, except that I don't have to take Mac to the vet, although I would if that were necessary. So in any case, I try to be the person that Sailor and Blossom think that I am, and I'll talk briefly if I have time about that. But in the meantime, my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who have and who do send me wonderful, wonderful things. In a little segment a little bit farther down, I will describe a couple of things, several things that I have received just in the last week. But in the meantime, I thank everybody who is so kind and thoughtful as to send me wonderful gifts. And these are all things that are added to my collection of personal treasures. As I have alluded to before and now report fully, I am being completely unsuccessful in field stripping my home. One of the bills aboard ship is when you get a ship ready to go to war, you carry out what is called the strip ship bill, and it lists all of the things that is believed that you don't have to have when you are going into a war zone. When I was getting Ingham ready to go to Vietnam, we fulfilled part, but not all, of the strip ship bill. And it is something that I should be doing with captain's quarters, and about which I'm being totally unsuccessful. There are good reasons for that. Each one of the things that I look at and think that maybe it can be moved on someplace else, I say, no, I'm not ready to let that go yet. I need to have that, something that was part of my life with Mary R. maybe, or something that came from one of my children or grandchildren or from friends of family rank or shipmates. Captain's quarters is replete with things like that, and none of them have I been successful in moving on, with the exception of 4 books. I have several more books that I am getting ready to send to people. My young friend in the Midwest, Cody, is going to be the recipient of some of my Railroad and Great Lakes books. And that will make one or two blanks in the bookcases. But I have bookcases all over Captain's Quarters, and just about every one of those books which were written by people that are no longer here. They have crossed their bar. People like Sir Vivian Fuchs, for example, who wrote two books, and I was able to get him to sign those books to me before he crossed his own bar. And every time I even touch them to look up something about which Sir Vivian was involved, I'd say, well, maybe I can pass this one. And then I say, no, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do a lot of things, actually. The binnacle list today, first of all, I asked Truman O'Brien, Captain O'Brien, just before I came on the air, how he was coming and getting appointments to rectify his now becoming pretty serious orthopedic problems, and he is saying no joy. No joy, Captain Joe. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but I am getting more and more concerned. My good friend, Brigadier General Joe, has decided to move off the island and go into an assisted living, and we are gathering this weekend for a Until We Meet Again party at the General's quarters. And he is a few years senior to me chronologically, and has now gotten pretty much to a wheelchair level. But I am hoping for many, many more years of friendship from him. He is a Ranger, wears the Ranger tab, and has served in World War II as a very young soldier, and in Korea, and, of course, in Vietnam. I will miss him on the island, but we are not saying goodbye. We say until we meet again. My own situation, my house, remains on the binnacle list because the water system is still under repair. It is sort of like taking a ship under my command into a shipyard, and one of the jobs in a shipyard is open and inspect. You open up a piece of equipment and inspect it, and then after that inspection, you know what work needs to be done, and almost always, after an open and inspect, there are work orders that have to be written, and the price of the total shipyard availability goes up dramatically. That is almost exactly what is happening to your captain right this very minute. And because I have not yet been able to get somebody to go down into the well, I can run the well pump only for a relatively short period of time. That runs the well dry, and then I have to shut it down. But we're moving along. We're making progress. And because my family that was here for the long 4th of July festival has now moved on to their own quarters, there is only myself, Sailor, and Blossom, in particular, who does not clean or groom herself, uses almost no water. So we're going to be fine, but I will let everybody know when I get to the point where where I can run everything without having to run out and turn off the switch. A couple of public service announcements. First of all, the Coast Guard cutter Eagle is here in Seattle. She is down at Pier 66, which is the cruise terminal. And her hours are on Wednesday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, 1300 to 1600. And on Thursday, from 10:30 in the morning until 7 p.m., 1900. The announcement says no tickets are required. And the second thing the announcement says, it is free. Well, it sure as hell better be free, because she belongs to all of us. And she is an absolutely beautiful thing. She's meticulously maintained. And although she has the stripe down the side of her hull, which I would have, had it been to me to decide, I would not have put on her, because that is just a little bit of self-advertising, and she advertises herself. Any of Captain Joe's people who are within the sound of the voice of Vashon and who can get to Pier 66 for those 2 days, tomorrow and the day after, those are the times. Go on down, get in the queue. It's going to be a long queue. And there will be cadets from the Coast Guard Academy who will explain all to you. I had just a little bit of a come-to-the-captain time about how square riggers work with Captain O'Brien, and he in turn gave me a few groups on how aircraft work, some of which I already knew, but I always enjoy being taught by Captain O'Brien. So the next public service announcement is that the Voice of Vashon is having its one of its annual fundraisers, and this one is a raffle for a shopping spree at the Island Thriftway Market. If you don't live on the island, of course, you're not going to be pushing your cart around Thriftway, but if you do live on the island, you can buy tickets from the volunteers and a number of different places on the island, and I will be have them available when the ever-lovely Kate and I do the broadcast for the automobile parade on the Sunday of Strawberry Festival. And I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get one broadcast closer. In going through a couple of updates, one of them, we've talked before about the Constellation class of frigates that the Navy is trying to get into the water. Frigate is smaller than a destroyer and theoretically is supposed to cost less. Supposed to cost a lot less. But the Navy, for one reasons which are certainly not clear to your captain, decided to adapt a European design and turn that one into an American design. And unfortunately, things have happened. And in the great budget that was just passed, there is no money, development or construction, that I have been able to find that has anything to do with the Constellation class of frigates. This leads me to wonder whether or not we're going to have a reprieve of the experience with the much discussed and much disgusted littoral combat ships, LCSs, and the Zumwalt class of destroyers. My guess is that the Navy, with uncharacteristic silence, is going to not say anything about the frigates, about the Constellation class frigates. And that they are hoping that that the class and the project, the program, will die a death unnoticed. But Your captain always notices things like this because the Coast Guard has, and this leads me into my discussion of the next Ingham. The next Ingham is under construction at Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, Florida. And not too long ago, I reported that construction on her has been halted. I don't know yet how far they got into it, how much of the hull has been constructed. But the lead ship of the class, also under construction at Eastern Shipbuilding, has not yet been commissioned. She's not yet working for about her father's business. I suspect that somehow or other the hulls of Spencer, which is the second ship, Ingham, which is the third, and the fourth one has also been started, and I don't remember her name. But the three from Eastern Shipbuilding, that in the dark of night, those hulls are going to be moved someplace else. Maybe to the Coast Guard Yard. And complete it. In the meantime, I will track down what is happening with the next Ingham, because Eastern Shipbuilding has just been awarded a contract to build three hybrid electric ferries for the Washington State Ferry System. The total bill for this is over $700 million for three of them, hybrid electric. That means that they have diesel prime movers and also being able to plug in when they are in a ferry terminal. So here, Eastern, that has been troubled with the Argus class, of which my next Ingham is one, has now been awarded this big contract to build these ferries. 160 cars they're going to be able to carry. I also suspect that the both labor force and the planning people at Eastern Shipbuilding are going to divert their attention to money which is coming to them from the state of Washington rather than completing ships. And I hate to be cynical about this, but I want that ship finished. I want Ingham finished because this year when I go to our reunion in Key West, I'm going to have a piece of steel of my Ingham cut out of her, and then I'm going to take it to Panama City or wherever that hull is. So that's where we are with Eastern Shipbuilding. They are not at the top of my happy list. At Point Robinson Light Station, last week I was giving tours out at the light station, as I do every Sunday, and a great and new thing has happened. Some years ago, I was approached by a parent who said that her son had not completed the community service, which is required for graduation. It's only 30 hours, not nearly enough. And could I take Kelly on board and have him work with me out at Point Robinson to complete his community service hours? And I did exactly that, and Kelly ended up giving tours as part of, after he finished his community service, he stayed with me. And not only did he stay with me, but when he moved to go to university and then moved to the East Coast, I would receive letters and messages from the places where he was applying for employment, asking me for references. Kelly has now moved back to the West Coast. He's living over on the mainland in Seattle. And he is back with me and giving tours. There are a lot of things that warm the cockles of your captain's black heart. And one of them is that when people who, when they were young and were part of my life, and in Kelly's case, part of Mary's and my life, because Kelly also did some work for Mary R. in her garden, and they had a wonderful relationship, that when they come back into my life, it is just a great thing. And so I am delighted that next week, Kelly will be doing the tours at Point Robinson, and your captain is going to be going to a Until We Meet Again get together for Captain or for General Joe Uwatosky. The I haven't looked at the appropriations for the Coast Guard, but I understand that although there is a huge amount of money there for icebreaker construction, for both heavy icebreakers, and who's going to build them? Probably in, maybe in Canada, but that'll be the subject of further discussion by your captain later on when I know more. But it's my understanding that the icebreaker that was planned to augment Mackinac in the Great Lakes has been cut out of the program. I'll have more to say about that once I understand what is actually going on. Back to gifts that have come to your captain. I treasure everything that comes to me because they come as some connection with one or more of Captain Joe's people. So the first one that came to me a couple days ago was the 2026 Michigan Lighthouse Calendar. It came from Janet and Kevin in Traverse City, Michigan. Interlochen, Michigan, actually. Michigan has more lighthouses than any other state in the Union. I had, when I was the commander in the Sioux, probably 15 lights. And every year there is a beautiful calendar that's put out that has photographs of Michigan lighthouses. And a tradition with Janet and Kevin has gotten started that they find the most recent edition and send it to me, and I now have the one, the Michigan Lighthouse calendar for 2026, and I have already started to fill it in. The next thing that came to me was a beautiful three-dimensional sailing ship made out of, out of slivers of wood. And that one came from my glacier friends, Gail and Fred. Absolutely beautiful. And it survived the shipping through the U.S. Postal Service, and I am so happy to have it. The next thing that came to me was a parcel of information in the application to become a member of the Coast Guard Combat Vets. I reported last week that I had not joined that, and although I am, of course, eligible to be a member, but my shipmate, who was for some time my operations officer in Ingham on the gun line, asked me, he came right out and asked me, he said, "Captain Joe, are you a member of the Coast Guard Combat Vets?" And I said, "No, I'm not. It's one of the organizations that I just have not belonged to." And he said, "If I were to sponsor you, would you join?" And I said, of course, that I would. So that parcel came to me during the week, and I am very grateful. I will fill out the form, send them whatever money is required, and become a member of the Coast Guard Combat Vets. And if any of Captain Joe's people are who are eligible to be a member and are not so and want to become so, you can go on to the by typing in Coast Guard Combat Veterans, and it will bring up their website. And the last thing that came to me was a beautiful photograph of Point Robinson taken by one of the board members of the Vashon Park District Board. And it was presented to me during one of my tour days out at Point Robinson, and we had a lovely and significant little ceremony. I do great ceremonies out there, and I'd seize on the opportunity to hold ceremonies, and we had one. So I got to move along in a smart seaman-like fashion here. My book today is called Looking for a Ship. It is written by John McPhee, and it is the story of a mate in the Merchant Marine, in the American Merchant Marine, that was looking for a ship. And the book was written in 1990. So there have been a number of changes in the Merchant Marine since then, and one of them is that the American Merchant Marine mans the fleet oilers, ammo ships, and replenishment ships, which during the Vietnam War were, I was alongside 60, 65 times alongside ships that were USS, United States ships. Now they're all USNS, United States Naval ships. They are manned by civilian merchant mariners. But this book was written before that happened. And in particular, I was reading through it, and I came across this quote. So if you're going to look for this book, you may have a little bit of trouble because it's kind of obscure, and I found it in the most unlikely place. I found it in one of those free book giveaway stands out in Quilcene, Washington, when I went out to look at the Center Valley Animal Rescue with some of my family. That's where I got Blossom. So the captain of the Stella Likes, which is the name of the ship, and that's the name of the captain. His name is Washburn. And so the quote is this. The example, this is the example that Captain Washburn is following. The example became Captain Washburn's fixed priorities, which he lists as one, people, two, the ship, and three, the cargo. And when he himself became a master and a difficult situation came up, he would think of the old skippers. He would think, if they threw this at Dirty Shirt, that was the nickname that was attached to one of the captains who was his model, and I assume not to his face, what would he do? And I was led to think about that a little bit, and my priorities would have been just a little bit different. To me, people and ship were connected together so solidly that there was no actual distinguishing between the two. You took care of your people and you took care of the ship, and you did them both as an interconnected activity. Maybe in the Merchant Marine, they think a little bit differently about things like that. For one thing, in the military ships, Navy, and in particular in the Coast Guard, you have a crew that is with you for some time. I had the same crew in Vietnam. I only had to change out two or three people that we had to rotate back. And in the cruise to the Antarctic, when I was going to the Antarctic, I had the same crew. And I had people who were truly Captain Joe's people. They may not have agreed with everything that their captain required them to do, but they always were aye, aye, Captain, and we will get it done. And they did, always did. So it is a very interesting book. It looks at seagoing in the American Merchant Marine in the 1990s, And it is titled again, Looking for a Ship by John McPhee. It is not particularly well written, by the way. And I am always looking for things like grammar and spelling. And John misses the point on a couple of those. I had a magazine, but I don't have time. We run out of time, as we always do, far too quickly. And I just as a reminder that that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. All of you, all of Captain Joe's people, every single day, are always in the palm of my hand. What is happening with you, then those things in particular of which I am apprised, get my personal attention, every single one of Captain Joe's people. And with that, as I always close my broadcast, it is that your captain is firmly up in the captain's chair.